James, how are you this morning?
Doing well, Alex. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing very well. Now, I mean, this might be one of the final times we talk about Trump as a person, not alone a concept, but I thought that we'd kind of have a look at some of the big claims that he's made in his farewell speeches. So he's had two big ones in the last 24 hours. And in his farewell speech at the White House, he said that we've built the greatest economy in the history of the world. In the last 4 years, is that what that administration has achieved?
Unfortunately, that claim is not backed by empirical evidence. Building the greatest economy in the world does not mean necessarily highest stock prices or the mounting $1 trillion of debt that has been issued to inflate a lot of that stock market value. It should be a more fundamental value in terms of job creation, wage growth, reducing of the wage gap between the haves and the have-nots, global sustainability. There's lots of different metrics that we can use. Using the stock market as a bellwether or a benchmark for the greatest economy in the world, unfortunately, just won't cut it.
Right. And I mean, you just mentioned before, you know, job creation and wage growth. In the same speech that I'm referring to, he actually said that we reignited America's job creation. Is that correct?
Well, if you take a look at job creation under Bill Clinton, job creation under George W. Bush, job creation under Obama, they created significantly more jobs than the jobs created under Donald Trump. Trump left office with a net $3 million job loss. Now, you have to factor in the COVID part of that. It's a little unfair to judge him completely on that. But even if you look sort of pre-COVID, his level of job creation was essentially flat. By comparison, Obama created close to 20 million jobs under his administration. So again, Trump has been known to embellish and flat out lie, and these are one of his sort of more bolder and easily refutable claims.
And I think it's important to remember that even as he does leave office today. One of the other things that he did mention as well that is that he fixed the broken trade deals of America. Could you kind of go through what trade deals you think you might be referring to and if that's a correct statement as well?
Again, that's another one of these, what perspective do you really want to look at? His great claim when he was running for office was that NAFTA, which was the North American trade agreement, essentially between Canada, Mexico, and the U.S., was a very, very terrible deal. He got out of the NAFTA deal and then created a new deal that was actually worse. So I wouldn't say that was improving trade relations.
How was that deal worse?
In terms of the economic sharing, the globalization of the overall markets, it's a greater restrictions on each of the economies. So the import-export deals just make it more expensive for everybody in terms of the purchasing of foreign goods and U.S.-based goods abroad. In essence, it made everything much more expensive for all consumers involved. That's not a good thing.
Right, okay. And so, you know, we're moving into today. You know, right now, currently over in Washington, D.C., they're going through the processes of Biden's inauguration. And, what's the stock market reaction kind of been like? Have we already seen any kind of change over the last couple of hours while this ceremony's been in place?
Yeah, very positive. I think there was this initial fear about, what are the quote nut jobs over here going to do around inauguration. We haven't had any sort of protest or disturbance to the process. And honestly, I felt like the country breathed a sigh of relief once the nuclear football was transferred over from Trump to Biden, so we didn't have to fear, what kind of the madman was going to do based off of his overall emotions. And the stock market takes this as a positive sign because there are a lot of positive things to be that we have to look forward to. One is obviously getting over coronavirus. Two is the real strides and outlook people have towards environmental economics, right? In terms of climate change and what that means for growth industries related to that. Obviously we have to worry about the existing debt that is in the marketplace, but we can always grow our way out of it and limit its potential inflationary components to it. So there are a lot of positive upsides. And again, I tend to be an optimist. And so I think this has a good global outlook as well. I think that's going to be very beneficial to America's strongest allies. And of course, Australia is one of them.
Yeah, well, here's hoping, hey, here's hoping for a better 2021. James, as always, lovely to chat with you. Thanks for taking the time to go through this this morning.
Always, Alex.